visiting the podcast section of Workforce 3.1. Today we will be listening in on Judith Gilbert, who will be talking with Joyce Welsh and Becky Scott about on-the-job experience, your secret weapon for making placements. Let's listen in on their conversation.
Welcome to all of you to the CSEP webinar on-the-job experience, OJE. We have two very experienced presenters with us today, Joyce Welsh from AgeWise Solutions, and also Becky Scott, who is the Regional Director for Experience Works. We're delighted to have both Becky and Joyce doing the bulk of the presentation. So with this, I would like to turn things over to Joyce Welsh.
Okay, thank you, Judith, and greetings to everyone. Under this OJE option, you can contract directly with the private sector, in essence, subsidizing the learning curve that every new employee brings to any new job. OJE gives participants a competitive advantage in what is turning out to be a very difficult labor market. It does this by offering a subsidy to the employer while the participant is learning the skills that are very specific to his or her individual workplace. So, why is it important? Because it leads to unsubsidized employment. When you look at the three major issues confronting every grantee now, you will see how OJT can help you. First, the increased focus on unsubsidized employment in the 06 Older Americans Act. Secondly, three of our six performance measures revolve around placement. And then finally, the increasing difficulty of placing older workers due to the current economic downturn. That combination of factors makes the ability to work directly with a for-profit employer really an important tool to at least partially open up the door to CSEP and to your participants. So successes with OJE will help brand your program as a recruitment source for skilled, assessed, and trained workers. So, very briefly, how does it work? You can place a participant at an employer's work site for up to 40 hours per week for a period of up to 12 weeks. So it can be part-time or full-time, short-term or long-term, depending on the skill level of the participant and the particular complexities of the job. You are going to be reimbursing the employer up to a negotiated percentage of paid wages for the cost of providing training and additional supervision related to that OJE. There are three payment modalities that are an option for you. The first employer reimbursement model is for a short-term OJE, no longer than 4 weeks. So for 1 to 4 weeks, you may reimburse the employer up to 100% of wages spent on that participant. If you're going to be negotiating a longer OJE, up to 12 weeks, you may reimburse that employer up to 50% of paid wages. You must decide at the outset whether this will be a short-term or a longer-term OJE and negotiate accordingly. The third payment method is what we call direct wage payment, and that is when you, the grantee or the subgrantee, will continue to pay the participant directly. Okay, all of these payments come from the participant wage fringe benefit line item, and you are paying at prevailing wage. Becky, I'd really like to get your the experience of you and your state and local project directors in which of these modalities you use and why.
Thank you, Joyce. Hello, everyone. We actually at Experience Works allow our people to use all three modalities. We try to match the OJE to the needs of both the participant and the employers. That dictates, you know, which model we go with. We also do a lot of direct wage payment. We work with a lot of small mom-and-pop operations, and there's less expense for them up front on the employer. Some of them are scared, and they're afraid of all the paperwork they have to do. They are worried about the workman's comp costs, and they don't want to go out on a limb and put that out. So we cover all those costs on the direct wage payment option, so we do a lot of those. And we do a lot of the 50% reimbursements, but we normally do them for shorter periods of time when we can.
And have you seen any difference in outcome using one modality or the other?
I think the key is if you match it to the need of the participant. We've only had one OJE fail this year in my area out of 14. You know, we wrote about half of those were direct wage payments, and the rest we had, I think, three or four that were 100% reimbursement. So it just depends if you did a good match to the employer's needs and the participant. Besides matching the right person to the right employer, the monitoring is the second key to success. One of the things we try to get our people to do is, it sounds simple, but number one, the first day on the job for the participant, make sure they showed up. And then, depending on the length of it, we try to monitor them every other week. We do try to conduct at least one visit on site. Then, right at the end of the contract is approaching, we again contact the employer and let them know the anticipated end date. Remind them that the person's supposed to stay on their payroll after the end of the agreement. And if it's a direct reimbursement rate, where we're paying the participant ourselves, we remind the employer that the time they're going to be paying the timesheets because we've been paying them up to this point. And then usually at the end of the contract, we like to personally take the reimbursement form to the employer and get them to fill it out. Believe it or not, sometimes if you don't do that, it's a month or so before you get the paperwork you need to close out this OJE. So we get the reimbursement done right then and there, and again remind the employer that they're hiring that person and that they're on their payroll, and kind of thank them and try to also use that opportunity to build the opportunity for another OJE in the future.
Okay, thank you, Becky. You must negotiate a contract or an agreement with the employer before you place the participant at that job site. You want to make it easy for the employer to partner with you and want to work with you again, not only on OJEs, but hiring your other participants as openings emerge. You want to make sure that your own internal grantee-subgrantee review process and approval process is very timely. Okay, a few other issues to keep in mind. Do not close out your community service assignment form until the OJE is completed. The exit form will be completed at the end of the OJE. Contract with the employer has to be kept on file, and your last paperwork responsibility, when you are doing your monitoring, you will keep detailed case notes in the file. Before you do anything, DOL has to approve your OJE plan and approach. The real job is developing relationships with employers so they're amenable to contracting with you for OJEs and for other ongoing partnerships to hire your participants. So we hope we've eased some of your doubt that you might have had about the OJE option. We hope we've motivated you to give it a try. Thank you, Joyce and Becky.
This concludes today's podcast on the Job Experience, your secret weapon for making placements. For more information, please refer to the complete webinar presentation on Workforce 3.1 at www.workforce31.org. As always, please feel free to browse through our podcast archives for related presentations. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for visiting Workforce 3.1.